see it.
This is tape number one, side one, and it is September 25th, Tuesday, 1990, and we are oral history interviewers, Howard Braun and Harold Kimball, and we are interviewing Victor Cavalier for Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women. And to test our tape, Victor, we would like you to please give us your name, address, and date of birth.
My name is Victor W. Cavalier. In other geographical circumstances, it was Cavalier, Kowaler, Kavaler, all sorts of things. My address is 5471 Fair Oaks Street, Pittsburgh, 15217, and I was born April 14th, 1925.
April 14th. 1925. That was
correct.
A good year. Glad to hear it.
No, for Clarets in Bordeaux, it was one of the worst years.
For wine.
Right. Terrible.
For Clarets in Bordeaux.
We'll see how it sounds. This. Now, Victor, and I'm using your first name, the first thing we begin with usually is have you talk about your immediate family, your father, mother, the names and the siblings, a little history of the family background, where you were born, if you moved to Pittsburgh or were you born here, and any other thing of special significance like the rabbis you met, community leaders and so forth.
You've gone too far.
And would like you to include the name of parents and full name of siblings, your aunt.
All right, my father's name was David. My mother's name was Dorothy. The family name, I didn't care much beyond my paternal grandfather, but that's the name he brought over from the old country. My father was brought over as an infant from Austro-Hungary. My mother was brought over as an infant from Poland, which was then a part of Russia. They had no trace of any kind of accent. They were thoroughly American people. I'm the oldest grandchild on my father's side, which had an impact on my life. I realized it when I was very young. I realize it more now. My father died in 1968. He was a dentist, college educated. My mother just died in the winter of this year. At age 89. I have two brothers. I am the oldest of three boys. My next in line, in terms of age, is my brother Alvin, and the youngest brother is named Everett. I married in Pittsburgh Mina Serban. She is a native Pittsburgher. I was born in Brooklyn, grew up in Queens, New York, came to Pittsburgh right after high school, and with time out for the Navy, have been here ever since. In fact, it seems to most people that I've been here so long, I will be asked at times after a Taylor Alderdice reunion why I didn't come to the reunion. I will say the reason I didn't come to the Taylor Alderdice reunion is because I went to Far Rockaway High School. No, people will tell me you went to Alderdice. No, I will say, they'll say, but I know you sat next to me in math or Spanish, so I guess I've been here a long time. Mina and I were married in 1950. We are still married after 40 years. We adopted a set of twins, a boy and a girl, in 1963. Our daughter's name is Marty Miriam. Our son's name is John David, and they were named, all four names, after people we knew, and when my mother died and my children were at the cemetery, I was able to show them tombstones, the people after whom they were married.
After whom they were named.
I mean named, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. All right, I believe
Let me tell you, this man knows how to answer a question, doesn't he?
He certainly does.
You're a pro.
Really? Alvin and who, your other brother?
Everett.
Next thing is the home life in your early years, the atmosphere, your religious contacts and so forth, the economic, cultural, and the disciplines, and was there a synagogue involved? Were you bar mitzvah? Did you go to Sunday school? Were you confirmed? Are you Orthodox or Reformed?
The answer to almost all of those questions is yes, indeed. I had a very, very happy home life. Even though I grew up during the Depression, my father, as a dentist, always made a living. We never knew deprivation. In fact, when I was in grade school, on occasion of the depths of the Depression, I would bring home a little boy for lunch. Lived within walking distance of school and walked grade school and walked home from school every day, as I said. I probably developed a strong social consciousness very, very young, so that those boys who weren't going to get a hot meal at home, on occasion I might bring home. My mother was very generous with any and all of these things. As an oldest grandchild, I spent many, many weekends in my paternal grandfather's home. It was an Orthodox home, but he was a very modern man. I never heard any of the tales of woe of the Lower East Side. My grandfather owned his own home on Borum Street in Brooklyn. I knew it very, very well. He was very proud of me. I smiled because it was wonderful during my childhood. He would take me to his shop. He did not work in a sweatshop. He owned what, in retrospect, must have been a sweatshop, because there were sewing machines humming away and people working there, and he was something like a patron. What he was making then, it took me a little while to get used to some of the English words, but Unterwäsche were Unterwäsche, and that's what my grandfather manufactured. In his home, on one floor of his private home, he had living a widowed sister of my grandmother with her family. I was something of a pet to two generations. I enjoyed it. I absorbed a lot of Yiddishkeit. I understand a great deal of Yiddish. I rarely speak any Yiddish, because when I was growing up, I was going to be totally American. I wanted to be, and I was, and so instead of speaking Yiddish glibly, I can speak more than three words, and I don't mean nightclub Yiddish. I just understand it. My grandmother, again, it's my father's mother, I loved very, very dearly. She had a terrible case of diabetes, and I can remember vividly that she wanted to live until my bar mitzvah. I know when I was a bar mitzvah, 1938, and she died shortly thereafter. For those of you who don't know any Yiddish, Unterwäsche is simply underwear.
Oh.
My mother ran a good Jewish home. They were modern people. My father would have been Reform. My mother had very, very Orthodox leanings. Her father, who was an ancient man by then, lived with us for many, many years. He remained very Orthodox and kosher. We were not. I learned valuable lessons all along the line. I was a bar mitzvah. I was confirmed. For a number of years, I could conduct the Saturday morning children's service.
Arella. Thank you, Arella.
When I came to Pittsburgh.
Pardon me.
A little background.
All right, are we on again?
Yeah.
When I came to Pittsburgh as a college freshman, and either by accident or by design, came to Road of Shalom Temple and heard Solomon B. Freehoff preach, I knew that I was liberal and reform and have been attached to Road of Shalom ever
what
since.
What year was that that you
I came to Pitt in the winter of 1943, in February of 1943. At the end of that semester, in the summer of 43, I joined the Navy, volunteered, as did so many of us. It was the only way that 17, 18-year-olds could see how to fight Hitler. I was in the Navy for 37 months, came back to Pitt August of 1946, and have been here since.
What school did you go to in Pittsburgh?
The University of Pittsburgh.
Oh, you didn't go to a high school here?
No.
He graduated from...
I went to 12 grades of public school in New York City.
Yeah, Far Rockaway High School.
Very good high school at that time.
Very good high school.
The only city high school which had one session. Everybody went 9 to 3. I commuted by Long Island Railroad. It wasn't one of the superstar schools like performing arts, or mathematics and science, but it was a very good school. I have vivid recollections of teachers and the lessons which they taught. In fact, I've said for years, people laugh because they don't understand when I'm being funny, when I'm being serious, that most of my formal education was probably completed by the end of 12th grade, and I have been sailing through, squandering the capital of intellectuality which I gathered in Far Rockaway High School.
Makes two of us.
What?
He's got a New York background.
In Brooklyn.
The question, was there a synagogue involved in your life at that period?
Yes. We moved from Brooklyn in from a very nice apartment building. My father bought our home in 1932 at the depths of the Depression. I repeat, I never suffered deprivation, neither did my brother. Many people have had other things to overcome. All I had to do was work and get A's, and the world was my oyster, and that oyster was filled with pearls. We moved to Laurelton, which is on the edge of Queens, right next to Nassau County. There was the Laurelton Jewish Center. Everybody either belonged or there'd be no Laurelton Jewish Center. Ostensibly, it was conservative. However, the reformers, like my father, would remain mute. The Orthodox would be overbearing no matter what was happening there. It wasn't kosher enough. It wasn't traditional enough. That was the environment in which I grew up. I went to Hebrew school, went to Sunday school. It was a center also of social life for the Jews. We were far from a majority in Laurelton, Queens, when I was growing up. Things changed during the years that we were there. And the post-war years, I was gone, a Pittsburgher by then, but the whole community changed radically. It's difficult for friends who know that I'm a New Yorker. What they visualize is the super sophisticated Upper East Side Manhattanite. That was not my life. My folks probably got into Manhattan two or three times a year for a Hadassah donor, for somebody's theater party. Otherwise, living in Laurelton at that time was a fairly self-contained life.
Was there any anti-Semitism there?
About 2 miles away from us in Queens, going into Nassau County, there was still the pansy farms and the potato farms. People have forgotten that if you go back 50 years, there were Idaho potatoes, Maine potatoes, and Long Island potatoes.
Long Island ducks.
And the Long Island potato is virtually extinct.
Ducks.
That's right, there were ducks. There still are ducks, but it's hard to find Long Island potatoes. There was also the Nazi Bund. Fritz Kuhn's German-American Bund would march and train and do whatever they were doing, maybe 4 or 5 miles from our home. We didn't feel intimidated, but we were very, very angry because I was bar mitzvah in 38, the same year as Kristallnacht. My father, just as the war was starting, in Europe, not after Pearl Harbor, before that, brought over some cousins of his who lived with us until his contemporary could start with a clone of a pack on his back. It was a father, a mother, and a son and daughter. Incidentally, my brother Alvin married the daughter, and they have been married for many years. I mention this because my folks either taught us or we absorbed by osmosis what I'll call proper ethical living. And as much as we do for the Soviet immigrants today, I don't know many of us who take any of those families into our homes until they get settled. We do other things, but it's on a third-person basis.
All right. I think you covered everything in this question. The next is life of the city, culturally, politically, and do you care to contrast your New York life with Pittsburgh as far as health care, and health services and life as a child there compared to here. But you came here when you were in your teens.
17, right.
Yeah.
I can't make an intelligent comparison there because the ages, my ages, 17 is one thing, 21 to the present, quite a different matter. I liked Pittsburgh almost from the beginning. I came here just completely alone. People have asked me, how did you get to Pitt? Because in February 1943, there were not many out-of-towners at Pitt. McKeesport was considered out of town. Braddock was considered out of town. There was not a single dormitory room at the University of Pittsburgh, not one room. Well, I got here because I had started Queens College right after high school in the winter of 1943, and I wanted to join the Marines. In retrospect, it was one of the craziest thoughts I had ever had, but it was a patriotic war. My parents would not sign for me to join the Marines. So I said that I was going to be 18 in 4 months, and then nobody would have to sign for me. So my folks got the idea that if they would send me out of town to college, since Queens College for me was a mere extension of high school, that perhaps an out-of-town college experience would deter me from thinking about the Marines. My father was a dentist, and he had a patient who was going to dent school at Pitt. And at that time, I thought I would follow in my father's footsteps to become a dentist. Pitt had a combined undergrad-grad 6-year dental program. It was a very different world in America. My father picked up a telephone, called the dean of the University of Pittsburgh Dental School, could his son come to Pitt? And he said, quote, sure, send him on, end quote. So my mother packed a bag for me the last time that that happened. I put on both of my coats, my overcoats. My folks drove me to Penn Station, Manhattan, kissed me goodbye, and with a suitcase in each hand, I got on a Penn C train and came to Pittsburgh. I didn't know a soul. My folks had great confidence in their oldest son.
Yeah.
I didn't have a friend. I didn't have a relative.
Wow.
I got off the train downtown, and it was a 1943 winter day in Pittsburgh. I took a cab to the Cathedral of Learning, got out on the Fifth Avenue side, looked up, and could not see above the 6th or 7th floor for the smog and the soot and all that. I got on an elevator, got on a dean, the men's got off at that floor, said hello. They gave me a mimeographed list of boarding houses, and I had the alternative of sleeping in the cold or finding a boarding house. That was housing at Pitt in 1943.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
My first abode, and it's now historic, I found a lady's attic, I and all of her old furniture, and her third floor on Mahwinney Street.
Right? Where?
Mahwinney. Mahwinney Street no longer exists, but when you go to the sculpture court of the Carnegie Museum,
yeah,
that was Mahwinney Street.
Oh.
It no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
Except for somebody at the counter in Thompson's Cafeteria on Forbes Street in Oakland, I didn't talk to a human being for a few days, which didn't bother me very much. I was going to class and was interested in school. I was almost rushed Lambda Chi Alpha fraternity until somebody found out that I was Jewish there, and they turned me over to Abe Rothman, who is now a dentist in New Jersey. Abe was a member of Phi Epsilon Pi. They rushed me. I joined, moved into the fraternity house, which was at the corner of Baird and Neville. There are now townhouses there.
Right.
Was there for a semester, a very nice semester. I met many people, some of whom are my friends to this day. It's very, very unusual, but people I met in 1943 are still friends of mine. But I went into the Navy, into a special program where they... the Navy, the V-12 program.
So did I. Same time.
They sent me to college. The Navy then had an idea that you had to be at least 20 and had 2 years of college before you'd get a commission. I went through the program, got college with them, Cornell Midshipman School. I received my commission, 6 days after my 20th birthday. And I'll be loyal to the Navy. They were very nice to me. Mine and I were married on June 18th. While we were on our honeymoon, Korea broke out on June 25th. I saw the headline in the paper, and I said I was in the active reserve. I was loyal to the Navy. I stayed in the active reserve. Every week we'd go up to Neville Island. They did not send me on cruises in the summer. But on our honeymoon, I said to mine, I'm in the active reserve. I know I'm going to be called, and I will go. I won't object. I think I owe the Navy. I don't know. It might have been anti-Semitism, but they never called me. I have no regrets about that either. I came back to Pitt.
What year?
I came back in August of 1946. Was very active.
So you missed the whole war?
No, I was in the Navy from 1943 to 1946.
I see.
I didn't see any shooting, but no, I ended up with sea duty. Right after the war was over, we were ferrying back as an escort carrier, CVE 66, the USS White Plains, and we
CVE 66.
Yep, we ferried back Marines and bunk beds about five deep, Marines and Marine planes. I really enjoyed the sea duty too. I was in the Pacific as far as Guam, up to Seattle, around the coast, through the canal, into Norfolk, into Boston. But I don't talk much about it because I didn't fight. My generation of junior naval officers were there to invade the home islands of Japan. I won't go into politics, but I have a feeling most of my generation were not angry when Harry Truman dropped the bomb.
You're also speaking for me.
What?
You're speaking for me.
Yeah. See, we were trained and trained. We'd get out of one training program, ask for destroyer duty, ask for anything, and they'd send you to another school. And what the staff, the general staff of the Navy were doing was just really warehousing young officers because the anticipated casualty rate in invading the Japanese home islands was enormous. Well, the war ended that way. We were still there. I don't talk about fighting or heroics because there was nothing heroic other than my doing duty and whatever I was assigned to do. I am pleased to say, if anybody can remember those years, the way in which we were sending servicemen home was based on a point system. Everybody wanted to get out of service as quickly as possible. So there was a system. You'd get so many points for each month that you were in service. You'd get so many more points if you had seen combat. There were a whole series of things. And my group were the very last in the summer of 1946 to get out based on points. After that, it was just catch as catch can in the Army and Navy. There was no independent Air Force, and the Marines were part of the Navy to see what the order of discharge would be. Back at Pitt, I had a fraternity, so I met many friends in a hurry. I don't want to say I fell in love with Pittsburgh. I just became a Pittsburgher. It was a very nice place. I got my bachelor's degree in 48, and the next day I started teaching at Pitt while working on my doctorate, still at Pitt. People wonder about some of the things which I did, but at age 23, I was a lecturer or graduate assistant. I can't remember exactly what the terminology was, but I was already teaching students much older than I because they were veterans who went in at an older age. I went in at 18. There were men who went in at age 34 and 35. When I see veterans reunions now, it's hard for me to see myself as a fellow veteran, but there are veterans. The draft started in 1940. If you were 35 in 1940, it means that you're 20 years older than I was. So here I am at age 65, not reminiscing about the service, but there are men, if they're still alive, at age 85, and many of them have nothing else to reminisce about except their service years.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you weren't touched by the war in Europe. at all. You were in the Pacific Zone, right?
Well, they had me in college in the United States. I don't talk about my other college experience. I only pledged loyalty to the University of Pittsburgh, but I have some terrific credits from some terrific schools.
Oh,
some
really?
Of my most snobbish friends would be totally deflated if they knew that I had credits from schools which they attended and about which they can talk and talk and talk. I only claim Pitt, but I have more than half of my undergraduate credits are not from the University of Pittsburgh.
Where did you do your V-12 besides Cornell?
No, Cornell was Mitch. That was cool. At MIT and Harvard.
That's what
Really?
Thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
At MIT.
I even spent enough time at MIT to have earned a class ring, which I don't wear. But then I don't wear much jewelry anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about honors and awards in that period or influential professors that led to your choice of a career, if any?
Well, many professors here, there, and everywhere influenced me. I've always been inclined to what were, in my younger years, extracurricular activities. In high school, I was involved in many extracurricular activities. In college, I was involved in debate, in the newspaper, in yearbook, and all sorts of fraternity or interfraternity activities. What the honors were, I'd say the usual or the normal kind of thing for an active, involved undergraduate. Reuben Schlesinger, who is still in our city, was one of my professors of economics. In truth, I didn't know what I would want to do. I was getting my bachelor's degree. By then I was age 23. Reuben Schlesinger, I guess I was pretty good in class, suggested that maybe I'd want to do graduate work in economics. So I'd say, not that it was an influence in a way, but he surely directed me. That was the path which I was going down. And I started teaching in 1948 at Pitt, and even though I was already the administrator at Rosh Hashanah Temple for the next 22 years, I taught at the University of Pittsburgh. I became involved in our Jewish community, the Pittsburgh Jewish community, almost the day that I got back from service to start Pitt in August of 46. I have vivid recollections of being involved in, it wasn't the United Jewish Federation, then we had a Federation of Jewish Philanthropies and a United Jewish Appeal. I believe that I don't know who was doing the fundraising. I know there was only one campaign. And as an undergraduate at Pitt, I was involved in that campaign. Beginning of 46, and I, until this year, was been a contributor to Federation. Very, very modest sums first, but soliciting my fraternity brothers for $5 bills, $10 bills, big money then, I can look back at some of our leaders, my contemporary, who become very big people. They won't remember, but the first $5 bill they gave to Federation was because I solicited. I used to, Coca-Cola was then a nickel, and the benchmark was if you drink one Coke a day less and take that nickel times 365, you can give at least $18. I was raising their sights just astronomically at that time. I've made friends for life. My guess is one of the reasons I've stayed in Pittsburgh is because I've had friends. It's a very unusual city and a very, very unusual Jewish community.
Did you meet Herman Feinberg during that period?
Oh, yes, I met. Well, there are so many things. I worked on committees. The people who became very, very active and leaders in our United Jewish Federation, I would say to them, you won't know this, but before you thought about it, I was working on committees with your father. Most vividly, I said something to Sidney Busis. I can remember working cash mobilization, whatever it was, with his father. I became active, it may be because I was diligent. If I were on a board, I attended meetings. I would keep my mouth shut at first. I wanted to hear other people and try to learn something. I know since childhood I've been articulate so that I could organize thoughts and present whatever it was, and it was no trouble for me to be put through the chairs. I think the first community board which I was on, it was either the Jewish Community Relations Council with Lillian Friedberg, or Jewish Family and Children's Service. Marcel Kowarski was still there. But I became very interested, very active, and very devoted to all aspects of our Jewish community. We joined, mine and I did, Rod of Shalom right after we were married in 1950. And many of our lifelong friends are those who we met in the junior congregation of Rod of Shalom. I started teaching Sunday school at Rod of Shalom that same time in 1950, and a year or two later, I was very honored to be one of three teachers of the confirmation class. Harold Silver was then the assistant rabbi. We became friends then while I was teaching Sunday school, and even though geography has separated us, we're still quite friendly. I became active at Temple, as that would indicate, as did Mina. And just a few years later, when Chester Bandman, who had been the executive secretary for many years, was thinking or was being pushed to think about retirement, he was then in his late 60s, called to see if I might be interested in being his assistant with the eye towards succeeding in the very near future.
What was Chester's last name, please?
Bandman. B-A-N-D-M-A-N. A very good man, a gentleman. Our temperaments, our personalities, our personal assets, I don't mean pecuniary.